We just sang a song that talks about a story where Jesus Christ was walking on the water and his closest followers were in a boat, and it's an amazing picture. The disciples are on the boat, and there's a bunch of wind against the boat. There's a bunch of pressure against the boat. There's waves against the boat. And it says that the disciples are scared. And then Jesus comes walking to them on the water, and they're afraid. And the waves are making them afraid, and the wind is making them afraid. And they see this figure on the water, huge, huge lake, and they think that he's a ghost. And then they realize that it's Jesus, and Jesus calls one of them to step out of the boat and to walk on the water with him. When Jesus calls him to walk out on the water with him, he doesn't tell the waves to settle down, and he doesn't stop the wind. In fact, he asks Peter to come out onto the water in the midst of the wind and the waves. And he makes it a certain distance, and then he takes his eyes off Jesus, and then he starts to sink, but then Jesus lifts him up out of the water, and they get back into the boat. And that story is a story of faith. That story is a story of trust. And when you see Peter trust God that way, in such a real fashion, present kind of moment of Jesus has the power to walk on water and for me to walk on water, then what that does is it takes your faith and it moves it to the next level. It moves it to this excited, amazing experience where you go, ooh, I want to do that again. Having faith in God, as you take the first step of faith, just a little step of faith, you see a big God do big things. And then you take a little bit bigger, and then he does more things. And you take a little bit bigger, and he does more things. And those people that depend upon God in every area of their life, they have a true faith that really is just an expression of their belief in Jesus Christ. And they're happy to trust him. They're happy because, after all, you can't walk on water alone. And in every area of your life, God says, I want you to trust me, and I'll show you. Trust me, and I'll show you. Trust me, and I'll show you. And in this series, we're talking about our finances. We're talking about fully trusting God with our finances and seeing what God will do and letting this process of dependence upon God make him happy and make us happy. Now, when I ask you to fully depend on God in your relationships, easy. When I ask you to fully depend upon God in your work, it's easier. But something about the finances, something about giving back to God, something about writing a check and saying, here, God, I'm going to give you this, it's difficult. But when you understand the person of Jesus and that picture of Jesus walking on water with you in that moment becomes real to you, and you see that Jesus always comes through when you put your faith in him, it should make you come alive. It should make you happy. Someone said it this way: asking people with faith to give should be like asking a puppy to have excessive energy.
Hello, little puppy. You're so cute. You're such a little puppy. Be a puppy.
You should not have to do that with a puppy. I know that voice. I found that voice in the first service, and I'm sticking with it.
A little puppy. Rah, 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 rah.
So annoying. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Thank you, Larry. I haven't seen it yet. There's a Harry. I said Larry. Dumb and dumber. Dumb. Dave is dumber. I'm dumb. David McCreary is dumber. I got to give it up for the whoopsie daisy one on that game. That was hilarious. People online, we played a game and David just absolutely tore it up. It was so funny. Asking people to give, asking people with faith to give should be this outpouring, should be this, oh yeah, yes, this is part of me now because I have faith in God. I mean, boy, that was well said. That really just puts it in perspective, doesn't it? I'm sitting there writing my messages. I'm like, asking people to give, have faith, should give, should be like, it's like a puppy that, oh yeah. Quotes. Joel said that. It should be, right? Dependence upon God should be a natural thing when you know the God of the universe. It should make you happy to see God take what you are and take what you can do and take your finances and take them to the next level. Whether your finances are perfect, if you haven't trusted God with your finances, you won't be happy. Whether your finances are a mess and you're afraid, if you haven't trusted God with your finances, you won't be happy. Because God holds the keys to the happiness in your life. And the doorway to that is to trust in Him, and that is faith. And you have to make a decision today if you're going to trust Him in your heart, in the deepest, most real place. And that's with your finances. And I'm going to talk about finances, and hear me right now. I am not talking about finances this morning because 514 Church needs to grow the bottom line. I am not talking about finances because I want to buy land and we need to buy a building or we need to... No. I want to do all those things and we will do all those things, but that is not what this is about. This is strictly about your faith. This is strictly about you stepping out and trusting God. And if I don't do a good job at that, then I'm not doing a good job at what God has called me to do. And every one of us are on a faith journey. You see, every single one of us, we're in some position today. This is where we are. And whether you have a lot of money in the bank or a little bit of money in the bank, or you have a great job or you have a bad job, you have a financial situation. And maybe you just are killing the stock market and it just keeps flowing in all the time. But you're not trusting God. You're here. And maybe you don't have any money and you're afraid to give because we can't make the ends meet. You're here. You see, every single one of us is in this spot if we haven't trusted God with our finances. No matter what part of the equation you fit in, you're there. And no matter what we all are, no matter what part of A we are, we all want to be somewhere else. We want to end up in a happy place. This is the place you want to be. See what I did there? I got a little excited about the B. Obviously too excited. We're all here if we haven't trusted God. And financially, we can move here. And this is the place where we trust God. In the most difficult area of our life, our finances. Now, what is the shortest and fastest way from A to B? Between any two points. What is it? A straight line. You see, so many of us, we know that there's a way to get here. And if we're Christians, we know that somehow God wants to get us to this place. To have that financial blessing. To be in that place where you go, I'm not worried. I'm here. I'm in a happy place. I'm not worried about my finances. I'm trusting God with my finances. He's providing. I'm giving. It's the way it ought to be. My anxieties are gone, and I'm living this life, and I'm trusting God. But it is extremely difficult to take the path to be the way God wants you to. In fact, what I find most of the time is that we do it our own way. I talk to people about their finances and really any area of your life, your relationships, your job, whatever it is. And what we do is we go, you know what? Everything is fine, so I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm just not going to change the way I'm doing things because I got enough money in the bank. That is doing it your own way. That's taking the long route. That's not trusting God. God, I don't have enough money in the bank. I can't make it ends meet. So there's just no way that I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to do it my way. And what ends up happening is when we do things our way, it's the long way. It's the hard way. And God says, do you know the difference between straight and this wonky, crazy path is faith, is trust. I can take you to be. I can get you there. You can't get there on your own. You get there on your own and you take the long way. You take the confusing way. You take the way of struggle. That's what so many of us do in any area of faith and specifically with our finances. When I was in school, I had a professor, Marshall Wicks. He was a brilliant man. He taught us theology, the study of the Bible. And he said one day that there's a song out there that is the most evil song in the world. And it has to do with what I'm talking about. He said, there's a song, it's the most evil song in the world, and I know you've heard of it. I want you to think right now for a second, what's the most evil song you've ever heard? You know, like, is it Metallica? Exit Line. Right? No? That's pretty dark. How about, like, if you're from the 90s, Two Live Crew? Uh-oh, someone just went, dude, did he just say Two Live Crew in church? Because if you say any of the other words they say, I lose my job right now. Nasty. I mean, nasty stuff. Evil, right? Dark. Eminem, you know, some of his explicit lyric stuff. You know the part on iTunes where it's red? And you're like, oh, I shouldn't buy that record. And you do anyway. And then you're like, dang, I can't listen to this with anyone else around. This is dirty. Right? I want you to think for a second. What's the most evil song you ever heard? I had a professor say the most evil song that has ever been sung was a song that was sung by Frank Sinatra. And I'm like, you mean the guy that we all listen to when we eat steaks? Right? I mean, isn't that what we do, right? We go, we eat a steak, and it's fly me to the moon. Oh, man, I just want to eat a steak. Give me another one. He said there's a song that Frank Sinatra sang, and it's the most evil song. It has to do with A to B, your own way, and it's called a song, I Did It My Way. I did it my way. You see, when you do things your way, you are rejecting God. You are rejecting him. He's going, come, 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 come. I can help you. I can help you. I can get you from A to B way better than you can, but you keep taking the long way because you want to do it your way. That's not how I work. Like I said, so many of us are motivated not by faith, but by fear. Fear. We can't make ends meet. The money's not there. Fear. I've got too much debt. I can't trust God. I can't give him what he's asked me to give him. I can't do that. And what that is that's doing it your way. That's the same thing as saying, I'm afraid if I don't, it won't. I'm afraid if I don't take control and pay down the debt or you know, pay the mortgage first or whatever it is. I can't give God the first. I go to the end of the month. It's over. I'm afraid. There's just no way. The numbers don't add up. And when you're doing that, you're taking the long way. You're taking the long route. I'm afraid, God. God knows you're afraid. We're all afraid to trust God. It's a weakness that we all share. I'm afraid. The other one is this, the attitude that's kind of the opposite of faith is fine. I'm fine. Here we are, right? Suburbs, Columbus, Ohio, plenty of money, multiple jobs. Everybody's making money. The income, it's coming in. I'm fine. Some of us have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, and you're going, why would I trust God? Why do I need more blessing from God? Why do I need to get to B if I'm already at B, dude? I'm at W. Winner. I'm a winner. Why do I need Jesus? Why do I need to trust God? I'm a winner. I'm fine. I'm more than fine. Some of you are sitting there doing that. And that is almost more scary because you are totally depending on yourself. And you think that the blessing that comes from God and trusting him financially is just financial blessing. So you think, well, if all that God has to offer me in terms of my finances, when I trusted him, is more finances, then I'm good. I don't need God's blessing. You are missing out on a happiness, on a peace, on a joy, on a fulfillment that can come from only trusting in God, whether you have a little bit of money or a lot of money. This is a very scary mentality, defined mentality. I know some of you have this. And this is what you say. You say, I've got this taken care of. What it is just this version of pride. You see, fear is pride too. No, I've got to take care of this. I got to hold on too tight. Fine is, I'm already taking care of it. Look at me, I'm just a master. Just play the stock market. Ching! I'm so good. I got another promotion. I got another job. I got more money in the bank. I got another house. I've got it taken care of. And God goes, you do not have life taken care of until you make the decision to do the astounding. You don't get to experience life. It's not fine until you put your faith in God. And there's so much more. You see, and so many of us do it our way. We're manipulated by fear. We're manipulated by fine. And then God says this, and this is one of the most popular passages in all of the scripture, and it applies to any area of faith, any area that you're going to trust God. Specifically today, we're talking about tithing. We're talking about giving 10% of your finances, truly trusting him in that area, that little, that button in your heart that you're afraid. And this is what this passage talks about. It talks about trusting God. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You should memorize this passage. You should write this on your mirror. You should have this on your screensaver, on your phone. But I want to show you what God can do when you put your trust in him in every area, and specifically your finances. Look what it says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You see, your understanding is, I'm afraid, there's not enough. It's fine, I got it taken care of. That's the way that you think. That's not the way that God, then you need to trust in God completely. It means whatever you think you figured out, when you do the equation of life, when you put it all together and then the results come up at the end and you go, this is the answer, this must be the answer, this is what I can understand, you have to at that moment go, there must be more here because my understanding is limited. You can't completely depend upon your ability to wrap your brain around what life is and who God is. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Relationship ways, work ways, financial ways. Submit. Submission implies you don't want to do it. Submission implies you have to trust. Submission implies faith. And he will make your paths what? Straight. What's the fastest? Best distance between two points. It's a straight line. You want to do it your way? You take the long way to happy, to trusting God, to experiencing life in the fullest, to having everything taken care of that you could possibly imagine. Or you can do it God's way. Now, some of you are sitting there, and I'm talking about finances, and you're not hearing it. But there's something else going on in your life. And let me just do a little parenthetical moment here. This applies to every area of your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Some of you, this means asking for forgiveness. Some of this means working harder at your job. Some of this means that you and your spouse need to forgive one another, love one another. Some of this means that you need to listen to your parents. You are on the long route. You're taking the maze. You're doing choose your own adventure life by not trusting in God. And sometimes choose your own adventure ends up into a horror story. This applies everywhere. Anywhere that God says that you need to be obedient, he says, I will make your path straight. There's a place that you want to be. It's the happy place. And I can get you there. It just means that you've got to take your knowledge, your understanding, the way that you do life, and add me for the closer. And I will change everything. Ultimately, it's you versus God. And your finances is it's you versus God. It's you saying, I can get myself to be. I get myself to be my own way. I can get myself to be better than you can, God. And what God says is you want to get to be the best way, then what you need to do is you need to give me 10%. 10%. Now, let me just get technical. 10% of your finances. This is 10% of your gross. Mm-hmm. We're not cutting corners, people. No cutting corners. All the money that comes in, God says, trust me. Give me the first and give me the best. What's so great about God is that he understands the way you feel right now. He understands reluctancy. He understands that as a human, your fear and your thinking that you have it all figured out is stopping you from stepping out and trusting God and saying, okay, I'm going to give him 10%. I'm going to give him the first thing that I do at the beginning of the month. I'm going to give him 10%. I'm going to give God 10%. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to walk on the water. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust God. He understands that you don't want to do that. And so in the end of the Old Testament, he gives a promise. Actually, he gives a challenge slash promise for this. And the reason that he does it is because we think everything's fine and we're afraid. And he knows that. So he throws us a bone. He says this in Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 12. Look what he says about this. Bring the whole tithe, 10%, 10% of the gross into the storehouse. Now the storehouse is the church for our terms today. The storehouse where the Levites, the priests in the Old Testament, they had this system of caring for everybody and people would bring the tithe and it was the way that God set up things to be. The principle today that we find in the New Testament is God says, tithe. Give 10% to the local church. Give 10%. Give the first, give the best. Are you afraid? I know you're afraid. You think you got enough money in the bank, you don't need a tithe? Why would you need God to bless you? Why would you need a promise? Why would you need a challenge? You don't know what love is. You don't know what happiness is. You have not experienced it until you fully depend upon God. After all, if you have so much money, how are you depending upon God? If you think that your money is the supply for all your needs, you think that money can supply the needs that only God can fill, that's a joke. Bring the whole tithe in, beginning of the month. The fruit that comes out of the ground, the first and the best, give it to God. The money that comes into your bank account, as soon as it comes in, you know God gave that to me. And I'm afraid maybe we won't make it meet. And I think everything's fine and I don't need to do this, but I'm going to move from afraid and I'm going to move from fine and I'm going to trust faith. I'm going to do things God's way. You know why? Because I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. My understanding says don't. My understanding says I don't need to, but I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to move out. I'm going to submit to him. And then the destination in my life that I want to get to, that we all want to get to, the happy place, be, I'm going to let God be the one who leads me there. I'm going to actually believe that God is the only one who can. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, he says, and then he says this, that there may be food in my house. And then he says this, this is the challenge. Test me. Go ahead, come on, test me. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to give to God? Come on, just go ahead and test me. Go ahead and test me in this. You think you got it all figured out? You got enough money in the bank? Come on, you don't know what it's like to trust me. I gave you all that. That move in the stock market, I can think that and make a change. I did all of it. I figured it all. I got it all. You need to trust me with your 10 more than you trust you with your 10. Test me. Come on, come on, come on. That means for some of you today, you haven't trusted God at all, which means you haven't accepted his challenge and you're not giving to the local church. That means for some of you, you just have a zero and you haven't tested God at all and you need to move from zero to 1%. Test him. Now, if you're going to test God, I suggest you test him with the 10%. What's the difference? Test him. Go ahead. Isn't that funny? God says, test me. God, I don't believe that you can handle this. I know you know. I'm afraid. I know you are. Shouldn't I be in trouble for not trusting in you and thinking that I can figure this out all my time? No. That's the way you are. You're humans. Test me. Come on. Bring it on. I can handle it. You can't handle what I'm going to do. Look what he says. It's so great because it's the Lord Almighty. Oh my gosh, that's God in heaven. The Lord Almighty said, test me. The guy that created heavens and the earth, my body, my eyeballs, the eyeballs, your ears, that you are listening to me with and watching this with, God made them. He went like this. That's who said this. That's pretty cool. The Lord Almighty, come on, test me. God in heaven sits up there and says, look, the earth is my footstool. Have you thought about that ever? The Bible says the earth is God's footstool. When you're watching the Steelers this afternoon and you put your smelly feet up on this ottoman, he says that the earth is like your ottoman. He can handle it. The Lord Almighty says, test me, test me, test me, test me. Come on, come on, come on. Let me show you. Look what he says. And see. Ooh, I love it. He's getting a little antagonistic. See. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. I have the key. I control the blessings that come from heaven. See if I won't just say, John, open the gates. And pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Can we just get heavenly for a second? You know what that means? That means that all the goodness that can come from heaven and bless you in your life, there's not enough churches, there's not enough storehouses, bank accounts on earth to handle it. That means that what we could give God, listen, 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 will never come close to what he can give us. So much blessing. Some people will teach you that when you give and you give your 10% to God, they will teach you that it means you're going to be wealthy financially. This is how I know that that is not necessarily true. Me. I'm not excessively wealthy. Of course, in the grand scheme of America, oh my gosh, I'm a wealthy individual. Live in New Albany, Ohio, but I have tithed my entire life. And God didn't take me from, if you will, making $10 a year to making $400 a year because I tested him and tithed and gave to him. No. He just blessed me with the faith I get to love him. And of course, the blessings flow and he provides for my family and for my life and absolutely. But this for me has never been a get rich quick scheme. This has been a live a rich life reality. Trust God, step out, give him your 10, test him. You're afraid, you're not fine, you need to experience faith at the next level. See what he will do. I have never, ever, in a one-on-one conversation, in counseling, conversations with people about their finances, got people to this point. Listen, I know you don't have enough money. I know you don't have enough money. Trust God. He doesn't tell you to trust him when the wind and the waves go away. He tells you to step out even when there's wind and waves and trust him. I've never, ever, ever told someone to give some 10% of their first, their best, their income to God, and over a 12-month span, then regret it and not see God's blessing in their life. Never in my life. Everyone who does experiences so much blessing. And it's not just the bank account. It's people will come back and go, oh, I can give more. God has blessed me so much. When you give, you learn how much God loves you. Do you know how that can change your heart? There's a church down in Oklahoma. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the world. Hundreds of thousands of people watching online right now. And he told his church, every single one of them, he said, this guy's name is Craig Rochelle. He said, if you give 10% for a year and you don't experience so much blessing, we will write you a check for the entire amount back at the end of the year. I'm not going to do that. Oh, Joel, well, I love that he did that. What a crazy, wild thing to do, to trust God. I'm afraid. Really? If you come up to me and you tell me after church that that's you, I will make that promise to you. I will. What I have found is that people who don't tithe don't understand God. They don't understand how good he is. They don't understand how much he has to offer. This is not about 514, church. This is about this moment right here. Here's my selfishness. You want to know a selfish me getting you to give to 514? You want to know the selfish motivation? Here it is. One day, I'm going to stand before God. And I want him to say something like this. Joel, you did a good job helping people put their faith in me. If I can get everyone in here to depend upon God in every area of our life, can you imagine the impact that this group of Christians would have on the world? People who live by faith in every way? What? This 10% is a pure form of faith. It's between you and God. Giving financially is the purest form of faith lived out because no one knows about it but you and God. It's between you and God. Every now and then, someone calls me and tells me how God gave them so much blessing. And a lot of times it is financial. It is, wow, I trusted him. And in my weakness and in my doubt, he really provided in such an amazing way. He didn't make me a millionaire overnight, but he trusted. I trusted him and he did this. It was amazing. 3 weeks ago, I had a phone call from a friend who knew I was talking about this and had heard me talk about giving at the family meeting we had a couple months ago. And he said, Joel, I grew up in a great church. I learned about 10%. I learned about tithing. I did it my life growing up. And he said, I just struggled in this area. And he's kind of opening up this private area of his life. He didn't have to tell me about his finances, but he just said, I want to tell you, I've been struggling to give. I've been struggling to give 10%. I've been struggling to trust God. And it wasn't you, Joel. It was just the Spirit of God that moved in my life and made me go, I got to start trusting God. I got to trust him. And so he gave me a number, 10%. I wrote a check. I sent it. I gave it to the church. And 2 days later, a check came in the mail that was for more than what I had written. Something that I had written off on my books. I didn't know it was out there. And it was something I had overpaid, credited, whatever it was. Boom. And God gave me so much blessing. And I just went, that's amazing. Can you just get to the point where you really depend upon God? Look what happened in this person's life. When they gave to God, God didn't double it and write it to the church. He gave that guy double. I'm doing this for you. I want your faith to come alive. I want you to experience the blessing that comes at you. Your 10% in a local church somewhere doesn't compare to the floodgates of heaven in your life. And what could you do with that? That happy life, that giving life. It's you versus God. It's the long way versus God's way. It's dependence versus fear. Could it be that today this muscularity, this faith gets stronger when you trust God? I want to pray for you. God, I thank you so much that I have the privilege of leading people to put their faith in you, because I know that when they put their faith in you, they're going to experience a different level of life, of happiness, of joy. So many of us are sad. We won't trust you. We won't do it. We hear you, God. Test me. Test me. I have way more to give you than you could give me. I hear you, God, saying it. Help our faith to increase. Help us to believe more. We doubt you, God. Increase our disbelief. Increase it to belief and faith and happiness. In Jesus' name.